Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing the broadcast at the top of the hour, 3 o'clock Central Time, we'd love to hear from you because you are hearing the live broadcast. The toll-free number, both in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We'd love to share this hour with you, this half hour, I should say. 844-322-2742. If you have a question, something you'd like to discuss, we'd like to discuss it with you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about end times this month, prophecy, one of the big fears that a lot of people have. Are we going to experience the wrath of God? And there are several passages that we want to look at today that give us a resounding answer, a very firm, solid answer. And the answer to that question is no. And so today we're going to start out with Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 10 because I think it's one of the most succinct statements of the gospel in the Word of God. But we're going to focus on verse 9. So in verse 8, it starts out, "But God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died." So that's good news. That is such good news, the fact that when we were sinners, Christ demonstrated his love for us. You know, when we're sinners, when we're letting sin kind of tell us what to think about God, we don't think of God in terms of love. We don't think that he loves us at all. We think that he's mad at us, that he's disappointed at us, that he's sick at his stomach at us, that he's ready to judge us, punish us, all of those sort of things. But here it says God showed his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then he goes on to say, "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." So we've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means that we are right with God. We're in right standing with God. And that's one of the big questions that we have. Every single person on the planet is wondering what their standing is before God. Well, by yourself, it's not very good. But standing on the rock of Jesus Christ, you're in right standing with God. You have been declared righteous by his blood, and much more, having been saved by that blood, by that life, we are saved by him from the wrath of God. That's good news.
That sure is.
We have nothing to fear as far as end times are concerned. And then he goes on to say, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son," the fact that he demonstrated his love for us, that he brought us together, restored that relationship. It says, "Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." That's what this gospel message is all about. When we've been saved by the life of Christ, then we have the confidence that we will not experience the wrath of God to come. And Paul echoes that in 1 Thessalonians, doesn't he?
Yeah, right off the bat in chapter 1, he's saying, "Hello, how are you? And oh, by the way, I've heard about you." And let me read verses 9 and 10. "For they themselves," these are other people that Paul's been talking to, "report about us what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." Every human being born in Adam is living under the, not the threat, but the guarantee of wrath, because we're born dead. We're still born spiritually. And Jesus came and solved that sin problem and comes back to life in the resurrection to bring us life, as he said there in Romans 5. And now he says it again, this is the Jesus who rescues us from that wrath to come. If I belong to Christ, there is no wrath left for me, period. Certainly not God's wrath. Now, Satan's wrath, that's a different thing. But Satan's mad at everybody all the time. Satan would kill his own followers just for the sheer joy of killing them. Satan cannot touch us from eternity. He can only hope to get our eyes off of Jesus so that we get stuck with what's going on around us. Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, thank you so much for listening to this gospel and turning to Jesus, who rescues you from all of that, and therefore rescues us from all of that.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, there's a couple of other passages that deal with the wrath of God. John 3:36, a very good passage that states that if you hear and believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. If you reject the Son, then the wrath of God remains on you.
Yes, remains.
And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that when we come into this world, we're dead spiritually, we're dead in transgressions and sins, we follow the ways of this world, we live to gratify the desires of the flesh, we were by nature objects of wrath.
Yes.
And then the great news, we read that in Romans 5, 1 Thessalonians 1, but also in 1 John chapter 4, God sent Jesus. God so loved us that he sent Jesus, and Jesus was the propitiation for our sins. And there are some translations that will say that he was the one who turned away the wrath of God, taking away our sins. So Jesus turned the wrath of God away from us so that we could experience new life in him. Once that occurs, then we are protected. We are safe. Forever, and that is good news. So if you've ever looked to the future, to end times, to prophecy, to all of that, the book of Revelation, with fear in your heart, put that fear away. There's nothing that you need
to
fear at all. God has taken care of everything in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Simply trust him. Take your stand on his shed blood. You will have confidence on that day, and that's good news.
That is great news. You know, friends, every day on Basic Gospel, we speak about the love, grace, and life offered freely by Jesus Christ to anyone and everyone who will come to him by that grace through faith. And regularly, we offer very beneficial resources to our listeners who support this ministry with their love, their prayers, and their gifts. And this month, we're offering that 2-CD series by Bob Christopher called Trail of Assurance. Now, everything that we're talking about on the program this month is capsulized in this important series designed to take away the fear and confusion abroad in the world today and to encourage us all to stand firmly in the security and assurance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, the new series is called Trail of Assurance, and we have a copy for you as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you your own personal copy of Trail of Assurance. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, that line is open right now. If you're hearing this broadcast in the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we'd like to share it with you, 844-322-2742. And, Bob, I think someone is doing that right now.
Yes, they are. We're going to go down to Bastrop, Texas, and talk with Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing today?
We're doing fantastic. What's on your mind?
Well, that's great. What a blessing that knowing that I've been delivered from the wrath of God.
That's good news, isn't it?
Yes, it doesn't matter what's going to happen today. I'm not worried. And what's the one thing that happened to me today? You know, man, well, what a blessing. That's, you know, when I, even though some, you know, sometimes people use the Bible as a tool to make people fearful or afraid or scared, but the Bible is good news for the believer. I mean, we should leave church on Sundays rejoicing. Every time the Word of God is opened up, we should be rejoicing.
Absolutely.
I just think, and I'm looking forward to Temple, seeing you, joining you all in Temple. I met with you last year, year before last, when y'all were at Waxahachie. I came down, and it was a blessing. So this time, I'm looking forward to Temple, and I'll bring somebody with me this time. And my question today was, why did God accept Abel's, accept Abel's sacrifice, but he rejected Cain's sacrifice? I've heard different things. I heard some people say because it was the food and Abel had, Cain had, you know, the animal sacrifice, and others said it was because of his attitude, the way he approached God. So I want to listen to your take on it. I'm going to hang up and listen to it.
Okay, Aaron, appreciate the question, because it is confusing.
It is.
I mean, Cain was simply bringing something that he was involved with.
I mean,
he
was the best.
Yeah, he was in. He was into agriculture. Mm-hmm. Abel was into hunting, and so the sacrifices seemed to be in line with what they did. So why God rejected one and accepted the other? Just on the surface, you scratch your head and say that it just doesn't make sense. But I think God sees the heart, and I think that's what he was viewing at that particular time. And 1 John 3:12 says this, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. So whatever that sacrifice was, I think God looked at it and saw the evil intent behind it. It didn't seem like it when it was talked about in Genesis.
On the surface.
Right.
They both brought the best of what they had.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think, like I said, God, we look on the outside, God looks on the heart. And I don't think the fact that God rejected the sacrifice put evil in Cain's heart.
No.
I think it was there to begin with. And so that sacrifice was brought under those, I think, with that attitude.
Yes.
Also, a big part of that was the bloodless nature of it. I think God was, with the sacrifice of Abel, was putting a stamp saying, hey, that's the economy that I'm going to operate on. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, they didn't know that back then.
No.
But I think God was putting a stamp and saying, hey, that's the direction. That's going to be the sign of the sacrifice to come that will take away the sins of the world. Richard, do you have any other?
Well, the writer to Hebrews gives us a direct answer. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. So it was Abel's faith in offering his sacrifice that made his sacrifice acceptable to God. Cain apparently did not offer a sacrifice by faith. He offered it by his own hands, his own work. See what I have done. Mm-hmm. And God said, no, I wanted a faith-based sacrifice, not a work of your hands-based sacrifice. And the fact that he rejected the sacrifice of Cain did not mean he had rejected Cain. He rejected the sacrifice. He was trying to get Cain's attention. He wasn't just looking for a reason to hit him upside the head with a 2x4. And Abel brought it by faith. Cain did not. And then we see the results of that in Genesis. Cain was angry and jealous of that, ends up murdering his brother over something as silly as a sacrifice.
Yes.
Now, sacrifices aren't silly. But what a silly reason that God accepted yours and rejected mine. When God told Cain, look, just turn to me. Mm-hmm. I still love you. I mean, he tried to reason with Cain, and Cain wouldn't be reasoned with.
Right.
So
right.
It was by grace through faith, even though back in those days there was no law, death reigned, just like Paul tells us in Romans 5, but there was this picture that God was trying to paint all the way through there. And even with Abraham, God used that same picture when God had Abraham split some animals and they got in, God went into covenant with him. So the death required Abraham and Isaac, right? The sacrifice required death was going to be necessary in order for humanity to be brought back into reconciliation with God. And all the way through, that picture is maintained. There were people who brought those sacrifices by faith, and they were honored. People who didn't were not honored.
Yeah, and that really gets to the heart of sin, doesn't it?
Yes.
Sin is unbelief. That is the root of all sin. That's what the Holy Spirit goes out in the world and convicts the world wrong about.
Yeah.
They think of it in terms of all of these things that we do, all of these actions, all of these deeds. But God is saying, no, there's a root to that, and that root is unbelief in Jesus.
Yes.
And so that's why Abel makes the Hall of Fame as far as faith mm-hmm. is concerned in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, he made a sacrifice.
Yes.
And Cain did not.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. And I think, if you read in verse 7 of Genesis 4, here's God talking to Cain. If you do well, will you not be accepted? What is doing well? It's trusting, right? It's
yes.
believing. It's responding by faith. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. So he's giving Cain a warning, isn't
yes.
he? And so, as you said, he didn't reject Cain. He simply rejected the sacrifice. But that all stirred the pot as far as Cain was concerned. And he went out and murdered his brother. And his blood cries out even today.
Even today.
Yes. So.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. And, friends, we encourage you to take advantage of the Basic Gospel app. You can take us with you wherever you go. And you can listen to the live daily program. You can pose a question to us. Or you can make your donation each month through the Basic Gospel app. And you'll find it, of course, in the App Store. I want to remind you also, friends, that in the face of doom and gloom that's coming from many directions these days, we firmly believe that the Word of God brings good news. And this month, we're, of course, focusing on biblical prophecy out of the book of Revelation, both on the air and in a 2-CD series that clearly explains the hope and assurance we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called Trail of Assurance. It's by Bob Christopher, and we want you to have a copy of it. As you make your donation this month to Basic Gospel, we'll send you a copy, and you can make that happen by going online to basicgospel.net. Just click the donate link, or you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, and make your donation. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or donate online or by phone at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. We still have time on this is the live broadcast, first half of the 3 o'clock hour, 844-322-2742. It's kind of a universal number, and we'd like you to exercise it right now. Well, guys, a question from Jay, who writes to us from Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan. Says, as New Covenant believers, it is my understanding that we are to confess our sins to one another, according to James 5:16, to keep our horizontal relationships from becoming unhinged or non-loving. Is my understanding correct? I'm finding that many Christians believe that they just need to go to God to fix their issues and that there is no need to talk with the offended brother or sister. What are your comments? That's from Jay in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan.
Well, the verse is very clear in James yes. chapter 5 that we're to confess to one another, confess our sins to one another. And the purpose of that is for reconciliation between one another. So that whole context of James, starting in chapter 3 and carrying through 4 and into 5, are fights and quarrels among people. What causes those? Well, our own desires. We want what we want, and when we don't get it, we fight about it. And so when we fight about it, our relationships get hampered. We get estranged from one another. Well, how do we bring them back? Well, confessing your sins to one another. Now, this isn't a verse to say, hey, you need accountability partners, and if you've sinned, you need to go to these accountability partners.
Or worse, the entire church.
Right, right. That's not what this verse is all about. This is saying, go to the person that you've sinned against. Confess
yes.
your sin to that person. That's what it's talking about. And then forgiveness can be given between one another, and relationship can be restored. So we've received forgiveness as far as God is concerned. We are forgiven people. So the issue isn't between God and me anymore. That's already been dealt with. Now God is going to work in me to step out in faith and to admit truth to the person I've offended or
yes.
have sinned against. And that's God reasoning with me, giving me the courage to step out, humbling me to the point of saying, hey, I was wrong. And that is so hard for us to say, but
yeah.
that's what this passage is all about. So it's confessing one to another that are involved in the issue. It doesn't need to go beyond
correct
that sphere.
Mm-hmm.
We try to make it that. Like I said, I see so many people out there saying, hey, you need to have an accountability partner or a group of accountability partners. And if you've looked at pornography, you need to go and tell them about it. If you've done this with, offended your wife, you need to go and tell these accountability partners.
Yeah.
That's not what this verse is all about. This verse is about going to the person that you've offended or having that person who's offended you come to you.
Yeah. Even Jesus taught this, right? He said, if you've come to the altar to give a sacrifice, leave your offering there and go deal with the person that you've offended. It's completely consistent all the way through.
Yes.
This isn't some legalistic exercise. It is the exercise of grace, by grace, through faith.
Yeah, God says that our relationships one to another are important.
Yeah.
And that's where we live out this gospel, isn't it?
Yes.
So we have the tagline, we hear it, we believe it, we live it. Well, we have to hear that it's the story about Jesus, the fact that he forgave our sins, that he died for our sins according to scriptures, and we realize that our sins have been dealt with, have been taken away as far as the east is from the west. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in Christ. We get to the point we believe that. And then we have that great opportunity to live that out.
Yes.
If I've sinned against you or you've sinned against me, I realize that Christ has already taken care of that. Mm-hmm. And so I can now forgive as God in Christ has, past tense, already forgiven me.
Yes.
So I can extend that forgiveness because I know it's already been taken care of in Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the hear, believe, and live aspect of this life that we have in Christ.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Jay, for your question. We appreciate hearing from you.
Well, we're going to go to Alexandria, Virginia, and talk with Kimberly. Hi, Kimberly. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing well. How are you?
Good. Doing very well. So my question today is accepting salvation. I have been taught that in order to receive Christ, you have to believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary. He died and he rose again. He died and he rose again, and that he's coming back again for us. And that if you believe all of those things, then you have salvation. But it seems like a lot of people are watering down that and not including all three of those things. So my question is, I'm wondering, do you have to believe in all three, or do you just have to believe that John 3:16, for God so loved the world?
Well, Kimberly, I think we just have to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And, for some, it's just coming to that point and realizing that something's wrong and that Jesus is offering a solution. Now, once they've trusted Christ, received Christ, then all those other things can come into play. So we're not saved based on our theology, so to speak. We're saved just by simply trusting Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is involved in that, right, Kimberly? So the Holy Spirit is going to move us to, I think, confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. So those are the two big things that the Holy Spirit is going to move us to openly confess and truly believe deep from within us. And that's when salvation really occurs. You know, lots of folks just believe with their intellect, but I think it's a belief within the heart that the Holy Spirit has brought about through the way he's communicated this good news about Jesus to us. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome, Kimberly. You hold the line. We have some information we'd love to send you, and we sure appreciate your call, okay?
Yes.
We love hearing from our listeners. And friends, you can pose a question to us anytime, day or night, at 844-322-2742, and particularly during the first half of this 3 o'clock hour Central Time. We'd love to hear from you on a future edition, and we'll be glad to answer your question and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ. Don't forget, friends, we have this 2-CD series, Trail of Assurance, our gift to you as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. You know how to do it, and we hope you'll take advantage of it. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.